Hey, it's the Red Fox Roto Bullpen Report on the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Today's Tuesday. It's June 2nd, so it's a news and notes day. I'm going to go around the league, highlight what's important to know about MLB bullpens right now. And there's no doubt that 2026 will be remembered, at least in part, as the year of closer chaos. It's gotten to the point where this past week had two different situations where the former closer appears to have regained his job. We have an incumbent closer who may have already lost his job. We just don't know it yet. And an injured former all-star could end up missing a month more than he originally thought. And yet somehow the past week felt relatively calm. I mean, what a season this has been when a week of what would ordinarily be big news is just another Tuesday. But on to the news. So in Arizona, AJ Puck is moving his rehab up to the AAA level. He'll need to make a number of appearances as he continues to build up in his recovery from the internal brace version of Tommy John surgery. So he's still, likely a few weeks away. But once we see some reliable velocity readings and get some results against higher quality hitters, then we'll know if Puck is worth a speculative stash prior to or just after his activation. Paul Sewald has saved 15 games. He's only blown one. He has a 0.72 whip. His job as the Diamondbacks closer should be secure even after Puck is activated. But under the hood, Sewald is showing some cracks. His 122 BABIP is absurdly low, and he's allowing a fly ball rate of 75%. And yes, that is a real number from FanGraphs. I mean, his career fly ball rate is 50%. So if, or we should say when, that BABIP regresses, those fly balls are going to start turning into home runs. And things could get ugly quickly for Sewald. So if AJ Puck isn't ready for the job, when that happens, Juan Murillo could end up the sneaky addition in Arizona. So Murillo is a name to file away. Now in Baltimore, when Ryan Helsley was first placed on the injured list about a month ago with elbow inflammation, he sounded optimistic about a quick return. The team didn't really say anything to contradict that. Now, of course, players are always optimistic. We should never trust them. But things have definitely not gone as planned for Helsley. What could have been as quick as a mid-May return was pushed back to early June. Now here we are in early June. And Helsley is still throwing bullpen sessions and ramping up so that he can resume facing live hitters again. So at this point, we could be looking at a late June return for Ryan Helsley. Now, such delays would normally spell good news for whoever was handling the ninth inning, but Rico Garcia and Anthony Nunez have combined for only four saves since the last Helsley save on April 28th. Now, while Garcia is still the favorite for an Orioles save on most days, his last save came back on May 10th. So with Rico Garcia and Anthony Nunez both in the mix, neither carries significant fantasy value. But right now, I'd still rather roster Rico Garcia. Now for the Detroit Tigers, we have Kenley Jansen on the injured list with pelvic inflammation, whatever that is. The injury didn't sound that serious. He may end up missing just the minimum with a return in mid-June. But at 38 years old, any Kenley Jansen injury is a concern. But for now, let's hold him until we know more about his return date. Despite a drastically high walk rate so far in 2026, Kyle Finnegan was the likeliest fill-in for Jansen, and indeed, Finnegan was handed the first available save chance on Friday against the White Sox, and then he promptly blew it. So his next appearance just last night began in the sixth inning with two outs, a runner on, and a three-run lead. So clearly this was not a one-for-one replacement of Finnegan for Jansen in the closer role. But Finnegan's competition for saves should come from Will Vest, who was the team saves leader last year with 23. But Vest had an ugly outing last Tuesday. He allowed five earned runs. But last night, he may have pulled a little closer to even with Finnegan. Entering the eighth inning with the bases loaded and a five-run lead, Vest allowed hits to the first two batters he faced. I mean, it scored four runs, those two hits. So he escaped that inning with the lead. But he did finish off the ninth in a one-run game and got the save. Now, neither Finnegan nor Vest should really be relied on for consistent saves over the next few weeks, even if both of them are potentially startable on your roster. We go now to Houston, where Josh Hader is due to return from the injured list this week after completing his rehab. He pitched on back-to-back days in AAA last week, so I already covered those results. Hader averaged 95.5 miles per hour with his sinker last season, but that pitch maxed out under 95 in each of his last two rehab appearances. He allowed multiple runs in each. He allowed a homer in each. Now, Josh Hader has been one of baseball's best closers for the past decade, but that Hader may not be the pitcher we get immediately. Now, for saves, of course, we have to put him in our lineups. Just understand he could have some struggles in the short term. He's not quite at full strength yet. All right, now we go to Kansas City, where Lucas Erceg can't be long for the closer role there. He blew yet another game in ugly fashion on Saturday. It was his fifth blown save of the season. He's allowed multiple runs in three straight games. He's got a 6.33 ERA. His whip is terrible. It's 1.92. So even if the Royals don't like their other options, they can't keep going back to Erceg at this point, right? I mean, whoever gets the next Royals save chance, that's a situation we should be monitoring closely. So as I see it, there's three options besides Erceg. The first is Daniel Lynch IV. He's been the best Royals reliever so far. He's got a 1.93 ERA, a whip under one. K-minus walk is right around 20%. Really nice swinging strike rate, almost 16%. I mean, these are closer numbers. But he throws left-handed. And unfortunately, there's a very real bias against lefties as closers. The next option would be Matt Strom, who is recently back from the injured list. But Strom has been a lesser version of Daniel Lynch IV this season. His ERA, whip, K-minus walk, swinging strike rate, they're all worse than Lynch. So if either lefty were to get a chance at regular saves, it should be Lynch. But this is a situation where it's possible Strom's experience, you know, those 15 career saves, could win out anyway. The last option would be John Schreiber. But under the hood, Schreiber's season hasn't been all that different from Erceg's. He strikes out too few batters. He walks too many. He allows too much contact. He doesn't get enough whiffs. If the Royals want a mediocre right-hander as their closer, you know, they may as well just stick it out with Erceg. I recommended Lynch IV as a speculative option on my Saturday podcast. I added a few shares myself, so I do sort of have a vested interest in seeing Lynch get saves. But the reality is that he should have earned that opportunity with the way he's pitched so far. Right now, though, all we can do is wait and see. All right, but now we visit the Milwaukee Brewers, and we're going to get in-depth here. On Saturday's podcast, I wasn't ready to declare that Trevor Megill had fully wrestled the closer job back from Abner Uribe. But by Sunday night, I was. So let's break that down. Since losing the closer job in mid-April, McGill has thrown 16 innings with a 1.13 ERA and 22-2 strikeout to walk ratio. So he's been dominant. And in that same time frame, Abner Uribe has thrown 15 innings. He's got a 3 ERA, 16-8 strikeout to walk. He definitely hasn't been bad, but McGill has been much better. So the pendulum started swinging back towards McGill back on May 15th. He was awarded a save chance against the Twins after Uribe had been used against the top of the lineup in the 8th inning, and McGill got the save. But it looked like it could have been a one-off situational opportunity when McGill threw the 7th inning in their next appearance with Uribe getting the save that day. Then neither pitcher appeared for a whole week until Tuesday last week. And Uribe threw a scoreless 8th inning with a 6-run lead against the Cardinals. McGill finished off the game in the 9th. The night after, on Wednesday, McGill successfully converted a save. But this one, too, could be explained by the fact that Uribe had thrown 23 pitches the night before and McGill just 13. But something else happened on Tuesday. After getting the last out of the 8th inning, Uribe made multiple crotch-chopping gestures towards the Cardinals dugout. It was immature, yeah, over the top, sure. But you know, could that really have been enough for Pat Murphy to decide, hey, I'm going to give Trevor McGill the closer job back? Well, it appears so. Since this incident, McGill has 2 more saves and Uribe none. Uribe has pitched ahead of McGill in both games. So clearly Murphy is choosing McGill over Uribe for these chances. Now, I've long held that McGill was a worthy hold, believing that, you know, Pat Murphy preferred McGill as his closer, and that he would look to make the switch back as soon as it made sense to do so. And I think that time has come. Now, Trevor McGill has already lost this job once this year. Uribe continues to be, you know, a strong option. So the leash may be short. Uribe could still pick up an occasional save chance. For now, though, Trevor McGill is the Brewers' closer, at least for as long as he continues to pitch well. All right, we'll close things out in Washington, where Clayton Beter began the year as the Nationals' closer, but it was a role that only got him 2 saves before he was put on the IL with forearm soreness. This was back in mid-April. Now, he returned on May 21st. He pitched a scoreless 8th inning while the team was down by a run. But the next night, Beter threw another scoreless 8th inning, this time with the game tied. Now, he didn't pitch for a while. 5 days later, got another scoreless inning in while he was just, you know, getting some work. The team was losing. But over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday last week, Beter recorded saves on both days. I mean, I think he looks to be back in that closer role for the Nationals. And ultimately, Gus Varland then would settle back into a setup role. But even after 2 saves over the weekend, Beter is still a free agent in 17% of those NFBC online championship leagues. Now, walks have been a big issue throughout his career. Absolutely this year as well. 18.2% is his walk rate. That's just an awful number. But, you know, this is a situation where the role outweighs the skills, at least in the short term. For saves only, Beter really should be closer to 100% owned. So that's it. We are done for today with our Tuesday news recap. I'll be back on Saturday for another round of free agency recommendations. But this has been the Bullpen Report on the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Until Saturday, let's close it out.